Amen. He's going to help us out today. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. Most of us know it by heart. Hopefully, you're becoming aware of it throughout this series. But the scripture says this, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? How many of you can ask and think a lot? How many of you can say, "God, I need you to do this"? How many of you say, "God, I would really like this dream to take place in my life. I would really like for this to happen, God"? And you could say that to God. You could ask that to God. You could think about it. Let me tell you what God says. He says, "I'm able to do a whole lot more than that. Not just a little bit more, but exceedingly, abundantly, above all of that. I can do more than all of that." But how many of you realize that there's a qualifier to this verse? It's not just automatically you ask and you think and boom, it happens. There's a qualifier. The word, how many know the word of God is so true, so real, so powerful? You can depend upon it. You can believe in it. It says this. It says, "According to the power that works in you." And so we've been looking at in this series, what is the power that has to work in us? I don't know about you, but I want that power working in me. Is there anybody else in the house that says, "God, I want the power to be at work in me"? I don't want to stand before the Lord and have him say, "You know what, Bob, if you'd have just allowed my power to be at work in you, then this is what could have happened." Amen. I want to have the power working in me. So let me tell you something. I'm preaching to myself. You might think I've been preparing these sermons for you, but no, I've been preparing them for me, okay? Because I need the power working in me. We all do. Am I right? Amen. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 1, if you don't have it, that's okay. I'm going to read it to you today. But let me just give you the setting here. The setting is that Jesus has already died. He's been buried. He's ascended into heaven. He's about ready to ascend into heaven. And anyway... can you imagine with me for just a moment or two what it must have been like for Jesus' disciples to follow him? How many of you like to have done that? Wouldn't that have been amazing if you'd have lived back then and you could have literally followed Jesus around? Come on. You would have seen amazing stuff, right? Blind eyes open. Miracles taking place, right? Deaf ears unstopped. People who could never talk suddenly begin to speak because Jesus had touched them. Praise and the worship must have been incredible as the Messiah himself was walking the streets of Jerusalem. Wow, how incredible that was. Demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. People that were lunatics, crazy, out of their mind, possessed by evil spirits. And Jesus would rebuke them and instantaneously they would be set free by the power in Jesus' authority that he had. And beyond that, guess what else they saw? Miracles like taking a few loaves of bread and fishes and feeding 5,000 at once. Can you imagine the excitement of breaking bread and passing it, and all of a sudden it's a whole loaf, and you break that and you pass it, and it's a whole loaf again? Wow, how many of you would have been excited to see that? Pretty powerful stuff, right? And then Jesus walked on the water. Can you imagine being in the midst of a raging storm, and Jesus gets up and he rebukes the storm, and just like that, all the waves fall flat, the rain stops falling, the sun appears. Can you imagine? Wow, the disciples saw it all. And to top it off, the most powerful part of that was that they observed Jesus during his week of passion. You say, "Pastor, it's not Easter." How many know we don't have to just wait till Easter to preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Amen? Let me tell you, can you imagine standing there and you're watching your friend, your Messiah, your Lord, and you watch him being beaten, you watch him being crucified, and you know that he's dead because they saw him stabbed with a spear in his side and blood and water flowed out, and they took him off the cross, and you know that this one that you had put your trust in would had been killed. You didn't know what to do. You heard that he had been buried, and then suddenly you get the news, hey, Jesus is no longer in the grave. Jesus has resurrected. And then suddenly you're in the midst of a room. Can you imagine? The doors are all locked. All of a sudden there he is, you know, walking right through the wall. Hello. How many of you think you'd have been ready to go out and tell the world about Jesus? Interestingly enough, Jesus did not tell his disciples, now that you've seen all my miracles, now that you've seen who I am, now that you definitely know that I'm the Messiah, now that you understand what I can do, I want you to go right now and start evangelizing the world. How many of you realize that that is not what Jesus said? You want to know what he said? Let's read it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts 1 and verse 4. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. How many of you know it doesn't say this was a suggestion? He gave them this little suggestion. That's not what it says, right? How many of you want to do what Jesus commands? All right, this is what he said. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wow. In other words, he said, you're not ready yet to go tell the world about me. You're not empowered yet. You're not ready. Even after 3.5 years of being with Jesus, listening to his wisdom. How many of you know he must have taught amazingly? He could open the word. I mean, the Pharisees and Sadducees came. They tried to trip him up. But how many of you know they never tripped him up, right? Jesus always had an answer for everything. The wisdom that he had was absolutely incredible because he's God, right? He's the Son of the living God. But Jesus says, listen, you go and you wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father, my friend, is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. And he explains that. He says, because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, this is what he said. And this is a promise for everybody, all right? This is a promise for you today. It's a promise for this church today. It's a promise for me today. It's a promise for my kids today. Come on, somebody. It's a promise for our families today. This is what the word says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here's what I want to say today. If we're going to see exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, we certainly must have the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. We've got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. If it was important enough for Jesus to tell the disciples to wait for it and not go, and they did that. Let me tell you something. It's even important today that we also allow ourselves to get filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. That we come into His presence and we linger there. Amen. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. We don't have to go to somewhere like that. But we can simply make this a place of prayer. And we can say, God, pour your Spirit out upon your people today. Pour your power into your people. Fill us up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I've just got a few simple points. They're easy to remember. The first point is this. Excuse me, I'm just getting a little warm in here. Hallelujah. Okay, the first word is you. You. I've got news for you today. You means you. It means me. Am I right? Amen. There's a real meaning to that word. You know, Jesus wasn't simply speaking to simply the disciples. He was speaking to the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, you. That's every single one of us today. How many of you find that in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Who's got that in their Bible? The word you. Is that in there? How many of you know that the Word of God is not something that you read like a history book. You read like it's speaking to you. Come on. And when it says you, guess what it means? It means you. I've got a book in my library. It's an old book. I got it from my dad. And it says, go ye means go you, okay? Go ye means go you. Very, very simple little book. But I want you to know that this means you. If you're a New Testament believer, it's for you. Now, unfortunately, there are churches today who don't want the Holy Spirit. There are churches that we love Jesus and we want God the Father, but we don't want that Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, when He comes in, He rearranges the order of service. He'll mess up the agenda that the pastor has. Hello? He'll mess things up. And some people think, well, you know, if we had a nice, neat, orderly type of a place, and how many of you know everything can be done decently in order? Am I right? That's true. That's true. But you see, some people don't like the things that are associated with the Holy Spirit, like speaking in other tongues. Some people don't say, I've had people tell me, if you have people speak in other tongues in church, when new people come in, it's going to freak them out. It's going to blow them away. It'll scare them away. I've got a question for you if you think that way. Have you watched any television lately? Have you seen any movies? If that doesn't mess them up and freak them out, how many of you think that somebody speaking in another tongue is going to mess somebody up? You say, well, Pastor, I don't get that. I don't understand that. It's beyond my realm of comprehension. Praise God. Now you know something about God. He's not an ordinary God. He's a supernatural God. He does things in supernatural kind of ways. In my hometown of Worthington, Minnesota, there was a young man who had came from another part of the world, an Asian part of the world. Burma. He came from Burma. He and his dad and family migrated to the United States from Burma. And he began attending my hometown church of Worthington Assembly of God. And the youth pastor and others began to mentor him. He became a believer in Christ, but his father passed away. And how that's troubled this young man. It so upset him and so troubled his walk with God that he was so burdened down with that. And what happened was that he was at another family's house there that had been to the church there, and they began to pray with this young man about his situation, about his dad passing away, and the person began to speak in other tongues over them, and they couldn't understand the reaction in this young man because he broke down and he began to weep and he began to cry and he began to, and they said, what happened? Why are you crying so? And he looked at this guy who was a Spanish speaker and he said, you don't understand it. You're speaking to me in my home language from Burma. And you were praying for me about my father. And you were telling me not to worry about my father. That God is going to be my father now. Come on, somebody. I'm just here today to tell you that there's a supernatural, real, powerful God. And let me tell you something. We've got to go after that Spirit of the living God. Let me tell you something. We've got to seek Him and pursue Him. Will you say, well, is it really necessary to get all that emotional? Do I got to be such a fanatic? Let me tell you something. When you stop and think about that you're in contact with the third person of the Trinity, when you stop and think about that Jesus Christ is on the inside, God the Father stands behind you. Come on, somebody. And the Holy Spirit is being immersed. You're being immersed in the third person of the Trinity. That power of God, that same Spirit that hovered over the face of the water, that same Spirit of creation, amen, is now in you and flowing through you. Let me tell you something. I can understand why people get excited. I don't understand why people get excited over the Astros and don't get excited over Jesus. Come on. Don't get excited over the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, I for one am not the kind of a guy who wants to take the Holy Spirit and put Him in a back room. Put Him in a back room like the cousin that we're all ashamed of, you know. How many of y'all got a cousin in your house? You wish he'd stay in the back room at the family reunion. Hello. No. The Holy Spirit, He's a welcome guest. Come on. How many of you say just welcome, Holy Spirit? You're welcome in this church. You're welcome in this house. You're welcome in my life. You're welcome in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need You, mighty God. Amen. And then the second word I've got for you today is not only you, is the word shall. You shall. You shall. You say, well, I'm afraid that I might get something a little crazy if I go after the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure about all of that. Maybe the devil might give me something. How many know that God is bigger than the devil. Just tell your neighbor, God is bigger than the devil. Amen. If you go after the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get something negative. Hello? If you talk to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit, He's not going to give you something bad. Let me read a scripture for you today in Luke 11 and verse number 13. It says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Who's going to do that? What kind of dad would do that? Dad, I'd like a fish to eat. No, here's a snake, a live snake. Are you kidding? Then what it says, or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? I'd like some eggs for breakfast today. Pour in some scorpions into the bowl. That guy's a maniac. He needs to be in a psych ward. Hello? And this is what it says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen? Let me tell you something. God is good. He will give it to you if you will ask Him. And it says here, you shall. You shall. It doesn't say you might get something from the Lord. It's possible that you could maybe get something from the Lord. No, it says you shall. That word shall means it's gonna happen. If you go after God and you say, God, I seriously need your power, your anointing, your blessing in my life. I seriously want the third person of the Trinity in my life and His power activated in me. Let me tell you something. He's going to do it because it says you shall. Is there anybody here who says, you know something, I could use a little bit of God's power in my life. I could use His power, amen, to overcome sin. Hello? I could use His power in my family. Amen? I could use His power at work. I could use His power to be a witness. Amen? And this word tells us that you're going to receive if you have the courage to ask. But you, how many of you know you don't get unless you ask? You've got to ask. And then the third word is the word receive. You shall receive. It's something that's imparted to you. I want you to tell you what it doesn't say. You shall earn the Holy Spirit. And when you're good enough, and when you're sanctified enough, and when you're holy enough, and when you never ever mess up, and is that what it says? He says you're going to receive. Doesn't say you're going to earn it. You will receive it. Right? You've got to just reach out and believe for it. You've just got to reach out and believe for it. Let me tell you, when I was 9 years of age, maybe 10, I'm not really quite sure the age, but in a basement church in Columbus, Ohio, there was a group of people that were gathered there praying. And I was watching from afar. That's what a lot of people do when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I was 9 years old, but I wasn't sure about everything that was happening, even though I had a Sunday school teacher who had very delicately and gently explained all of this to me just the month before. So I understood what they were doing. But at least I wasn't quite sure about it. And my dear mother, amen, she came and she got me and she said, Bobby, that's what they used to call me back then. Bobby, would you like to be prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I said to her, yes, Mom, I would. And I'll never forget that moment. I walked up there, and Brother Hewison, that was his name, he was an evangelist, and he'd had a little habit that he had with his hand. He just shook his hand like this. I don't know why people do that weird kind of stuff. Tell your neighbor you don't got to be weird to be Pentecostal. Amen. Anyway, this guy always shook his hand like that. And he told me, he said, I'm going to put my hand on you. And he said, the minute I touch you, you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to begin to speak in another tongue. And God's going to fill you from head to foot. I was just 9 years of age. I said, okay. And I lifted my hands like this. And that preacher put his hand like this. And he said, fill him. And in that moment, I'm telling you, I felt something that I can still remember. And let me tell you, that was almost 5 decades ago. Hello, somebody. I still remember the power that I felt, the victory that I felt, and I began to speak in another tongue. You say, Pastor, do you do that? Are you one of those? Yes, I am, because I believe the whole Bible. Come on, somebody. I said, I believe the whole Bible. I believe that the whole Bible ought to be preached and taught and lived in our lives. And I, for one, want that power in my life. You're going to receive. I did not realize that day what I was receiving. You say, well, how did you react? I'm going to tell you what I did. That after the prayer meeting was done, there was young Bobby on the back porch of that house, acting like I was doing karate. I had my dukes up. I was ready to fight anybody and everybody. I don't know. You said that's a strange reaction. Let me tell you, all I knew is I had some power down on the inside. And I was 9 years old. What did you expect me to do? Come on. I didn't realize, come on, that I would have to depend upon the Holy Spirit every single day of my life. I didn't realize that I was meeting my very best friend. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help me, that He would walk with me, that He'd help me stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Colombia and in India, that He'd be right there when we cast out demons. Hello? When we pray for the sick. Amen. When we preach the gospel, when we take the good news, amen. Let me tell you something. He's real. The power of the Holy Spirit is real. And if you're thirsty and if you're hungry, you can receive from the Lord. You can receive. Well, I thought I received the baptism of the, I thought I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does. Okay? You can't even get saved without the Holy Spirit. You can't even come to Christ without the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one that convinces you of your sinfulness. Because it says, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. So what He does, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart and He brings you along and He introduces you to Jesus. Right? And once you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit begins working in your life to make you new. You're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. There's more to the Holy Spirit than that, because the Scripture tells us here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 that you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You can receive that as power. Well, I got the whole Holy Spirit when I got saved. Well, okay, you can believe that. You do get the whole Holy Spirit, but what you got to do, you got to go deeper in the Spirit. It's kind of like when you first met your wife or your husband. You met them, you shook their hand. What's your name? My name is Bob. What's yours, baby? My name's Jereen. Oh, I like that. I knew her, right? We got to know each other. How many of you realize, I didn't receive the whole Jereen. Hello? Are you with me? I know some of y'all need to go, okay, what's he talking about here? And I'm still learning about Jereen. I'm still learning about her ways, the way she thinks, the what she believes in, what she does, how she responds, how she acts. Come on. You want to know why? Because we live together. We walk together. Come on, somebody. So what this is saying, it's not saying you didn't ever, the Holy Spirit wasn't a part of your life and salvation. No, no. What it's saying is saying, look, I not only can regenerate you, but I can give you power that you need in order to live your life. I can give you a prayer language that your spirit can discern. Speak directly to God. And you won't even understand it, but your spirit speaks directly to God. You shall receive. Let me give you the fourth word today. You shall receive power. Is there anybody who needs power? I need power. You say, well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good. I'm all right. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I'm good. Fine. Don't need it. Oh, man, since your shadow's healing people. Since every morning they line the sick up out in front of your house, so when you get up to go to work, your shadow falls on them, they all get healed. That's power, hello? That's what Peter had. Am I right? I'm just preaching the Bible this today. That's what Peter had. And let me tell you something. Peter was one of them. The little girl said to him, he said, he's one of them. He's like, oh, no, not me. I don't know Jesus. I don't know who he is. Even cussed to prove he wasn't one of them. Hello. I'm not one of them over there. He followed afar off. But let me tell you something. Once he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, hello, he stood up and the 11 stood behind him and he began to preach the Word of God with an anointing, with the power upon him, and 3,000 were converted in one day. Hello. Let me tell you something. He said, I'm going to go and there's such power in me. Yeah, you can crucify me. You can kill me if you want to, but hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to be hung in an upright position. You can crucify me upside down. Let me tell you something. That's called power. That's called courage. That's called down the enemy. I'm not afraid of you. You can kill me if you want to, but I believe in the God who set me free. Power. Power. And if ever there's a day when the church needs power, it's today. The church needs power today. The church needs to be filled with people of power. You want to know why? The people come in out of that door, and you know how they come? Broken. Messed up. They come to celebrate recovery, and guess what? They got problems. They got issues. They got stuff, right? Like me. Come on, hell. Anybody got issues in the house? Anybody said, look, I need the Lord to help me with my issues. Hello? Come on. I got volumes of issues. But let me tell you something. The Lord can be there for them. And if they can't come to church and find what they need, if they can't come to the house of the Lord and find wisdom for their marriage, hello? If they can't find wisdom for their life, if there's not people in the church that know God enough and are filled enough with this Holy Spirit that there's a fresh word, that there's something that's happening within that church. Come on, somebody. I'm just here today to tell you that the church of Jesus Christ needs power. So what do you do when your cell phone dies? Who's ever had their cell phone die? Your iPad dies. Your laptop. You've got 7% left. You know what you do? You plug it in. You say, okay, time to get more power. Where's an outlet? Let me plug in. That's what we do. We take it and we plug it in. And let me tell you what happens in the believer's life. You've got to get plugged in sometimes. You've got to be back with the Lord. You've got to be back with Him. You've got to be plugged into Him. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you, this morning the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, don't preach that. I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'll help you. I'll help you. So you know what I did? I just turned on YouTube, started listening to 2 or 3 songs, and all of a sudden, guess what? There He was. How do you know I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I felt Him this morning about 4:45. Hello. I said, okay, Lord. I said, if you want me to preach this, I'll go ahead and I'll leave what I feel comfortable doing and I'll jump out on a limb and I'll preach the Word of God. But let me tell you something. When you get drained, when you get down, when the enemy comes, when stuff starts happening in your life, let me tell you what you need. You need to get back plugged in to the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to say, God, I can't do this on my own. Amen. I can't work on my own. I can't function the way I'm functioning. I need you to fill me new and afresh. You say, well, why do we need the Holy Spirit's power? I'll tell you why, because He's your guide. How many of you ever had that little voice of the Lord behind you? Hey, psst, this is the way, walk in it. Don't go over there, go over here. Don't buy that. Careful. Don't go in that store. Hello? Turn that television program. Oh, now I'm getting real. Don't go down over there where she is. Don't come near to her corner. Hello? Walk away. He's your guide. Dave, how many say I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be my guide? Well, maybe it sounds like this. Don't you yell at your husband that way. It's getting quiet in here now. Hello, somebody. I'm preaching good. Hello. And you need him to teach you. But you know, the Holy Spirit will remind you of things that you studied a long time ago. How many of you ever had that happen? You're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you start thinking about some obscure Bible passage that you read. You say, all of a sudden you quote the whole thing like you had memorized. You say, where did that come? I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the Holy Spirit. Come on. How many of you said, I need some wisdom, Lord. How many of you ever read the Bible and didn't quite understand it? Oh, that's been me. You know what you say? You say, Holy Spirit, just show me, teach me. You're the teacher. That's what your word says. You said you're right here beside me, so teach me, show me. What other verses can I look up? What else can I do? And you know something? He'll give you the power to do it. He'll give you the power to do it. And let me tell you something. He'll anoint you to do things you didn't even dream that you could ever do. Because let me tell you something. These signs are going to follow them that believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll cast out demons in my name, the word says. And they'll share the good news of the gospel. Did you know that everything Jesus did was in the power of the Holy Spirit? A lot of people think, well, it was easy for him. He was the Son of God. Listen, you read Philippians chapter 2, and you'll read that he emptied himself of his godly powers. You say, well, what did he do? Let me just read it for you here today. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, I'm going to read about 3 or 4 verses. How many of you are still with me? All right, here it is. It says, it starts out number 1, verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, what? Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Yep, that's what it says. It says he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert where he was for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil. And after that time of temptation, guess what he did? Listen to this. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the whole country. And just so that we could understand that what he did was in the power of the Holy Spirit, he went to Nazareth and he said these words in the temple, in the synagogue there. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Oh, my friend, do you know how many people are in prison today? I'm not talking about, there's a lot of people in a real prison, hello. There's a lot of people in a prison of their own making, hello. It's not, some people are imprisoned to their cell phone. That's why they call it a cell phone. It's a cell, okay. You got to lay that thing down. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your time with your family. It'll steal your good. It'll steal everything good from you if you've always got to be on the phone. You can't even enjoy your fried chicken, hello, because you're too busy just flipping up and down on face. Stop and enjoy the chicken. And it says here, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. You know how many people are bound to stuff? They're bound to pornography. They're bound to cocaine. They're bound to alcohol. They're bound to anger. They're bound to jealousy. They're bound to covetousness. They're bound to all kinds of things. And listen, let me tell you something. We need the same Spirit of the Lord upon us. Come on, somebody. So that when we pray and when we believe, people can get free. You say, Pastor, you're fighting, ain't you? You better believe it. Amen. I'm believing for an outpouring of the Spirit. Amen. Now I've got one more point. When does all this happen? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. You say, well, how long did they have to wait back in the day? You know how long it took them to finally get themselves in a place where they were ready to receive? 10 days. 10 days. So next Wednesday, y'all can go home. Now, I'm just kidding. Everybody relax. We're not going to do that here. Everybody just That was what you call biblical humor. It's okay to be funny every once in a while. Let me give you a little acrostic. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. You got to push. Acts chapter 2 tells us this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm just telling you today that there is one baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there's many different feelings. If you would follow that through and read the book of Acts, you'll discover that many in that same group, just a few chapters later, it said they were filled with the Spirit of God again. And then a little bit later, they were filled again. You say, Pastor, what happens? Let me tell you, we just need more of God. Come on. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I want to be like a vessel. Come on. I want God to fill me up and then I want to pour it out. Come on, Dwight. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle. Here is my spout. When the Holy Spirit fills me, I pour myself out. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. That must have been the enemy having me do that. Just kidding. But that's what happens, right? Church is where you come to get filled up. Church is where you come to connect with God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a church where I can't connect with the Lord. I don't want to come to a church where the pastor goes, well, thank you so very much for coming. I appreciate you giving your money and the offering. And okay, go on. Hello. I want to get with God. Is there anybody in the house that says, I need God in my life? I need the Lord some days. I need to come to a church, amen, where the Spirit of God fills the house. Amen. I love the music. Can we give our musicians a hand? Didn't they do an awesome job today? I love the worship. I love to worship the Lord. I enjoy being with the family of God. I enjoy the class. But let me tell you something. There are moments in my life when the one thing that I need is to get in contact with the God of the universe, to get in contact with the Spirit of Almighty God. Because let me tell you, when I leave church and I've been in contact with Him, woo, I feel more better. Amen. I feel better. And let me tell you something. That's the cure to a lot of our ills and problems. Get filled with God. Let me tell you what. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you'll start changing your character. And when your character gets changed, guess what? People around you go, wow, who is that? I've got a cousin. I was with him this week. I'm about to end. His name is Sam, and I dearly love Sam. But Dreen and I remember about 30 years ago when we were at Sam and my Uncle Olin's house, and Sam and David were there, and I mean, they were just ripping on everything about the gospel and ripping on Jesus, and I mean, they were just bitter and angry, and I mean, Dreen said, I can't stand it here anymore, I've got to go. We got up and we left. It was that way. But let me tell you something, Sam married Micah. And Micah's been telling Sam about Jesus. And let me tell you about Sam. I mean, you look at him, you say, Sam looks pretty rough. And he's kind of rough looking, you know. But let me tell you something. The love of Jesus is in him. He's so gentle. He's so easy. He's just like, oh, I just thank the Lord. I just am so grateful to Jesus. And you talk about a changed personality. That's a changed personality. And then you say, why? What happened? Let me tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit got a hold of him. Amen. He got a hold of the Lord. And he had an encounter with the Lord. That'll change you. Change you for the better. Would you stand with me today? We're going to ask the praise team to come back today. Thank you for just letting me share. Amen. We're going to pray today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me encourage you today that this is your day. Amen. Amen. If you need Jesus, this is your day. Amen. You can ask Him into your heart and into your life today. Amen. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I believe in You. The Scripture says with the mouth, confession is made. Amen. In your heart, you believe. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you repent of your sin, the Scripture says you'll be saved. Amen. 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 Here's what we want to do today. We want to just allow ourselves some time to get filled up. How many think that would be good? Let me tell you something. My intention today is not to try to get people to speak in tongues or do anything like that. My intention today is to have people come to the front and seek God. Seek God. That's what the olden churches did. That's what they did in Jesus' day. That's what the early church did. They prayed. They sought the Lord. They were in His presence. And they said, Lord, I need You. Fill me up. Is there anybody here who says, I just would like to be filled up with God today? I'd like to leave here filled. Amen. Filled with the Lord. I'd like to invite everybody to come. Amen. Even